I don't need to be kept cool right now. I'll let you know later on. All right. Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. Welcome to December. Everyone all ready for Christmas? Plans are all made, arrangements are in place, presents all bought. I'm a little nervous. I'll keep asking you questions until I get an answer. I don't care. Anyone feeling any stress this time of year? More than usual? It's a happy time of year, but it's a very stressful time of year. Life gets kind of crowded around this time because we've got all our normal responsibilities. But then on top of that, we've got all the extra arrangements that we want to make, all the extra things we want to take part in. And we know we're all supposed to be happy while doing all of this. Don't let the stress show, right? And then sometimes you get volunteered to come up and give a sermon. A little stress there too. So in the middle of everything else, I said, Lord, should I do this? And he said, yes. Okay. What should I preach on? Yeah, that's what I heard. So, all right, that's fine. You know, I had a little bit of lead time there, a little time to work it out, and plenty of stuff to do. Work is busy. There are lots of things, like I said, to plan, to arrange, to listen to other people plan and arrange, honey. And through this all, you know, every once in a while I turn around, well, I don't have something to preach on yet. Well, I'll worry about that later. I've got this to concentrate on right now. I've got this that's begging for my attention. I got this I promised out a week ago. And so the time kept ticking away. And towards the end of this week, I started thinking, now wait a minute. I know I asked if I was supposed to do this. And God said yes. Why don't I have an answer as to what I'm supposed to do? And it occurred to me, the most I had done was throw out a quick request. Lord, what do you want me to preach on? Nothing yet? Okay, I'll get back to you later. Let me go do this. Let me go do that. Let me worry about this other thing. And so I had to take out some time and sit down with my Bible and in prayer, be open to what he wanted me to do. And he led me to Luke. The Gospel of Luke in chapter 10. And so I open it up and I start reading. And as I get into chapter 10, you run into the story of the Good Samaritan. Okay, the Good Samaritan. I've heard the Good Samaritan preached on many times. I can put something together on that. That's great. Okay, so I sit down and start reading it. And I'm told, no, that's not what you're supposed to preach on. Okay. So keep reading. You skip on over into Luke 11. And there's the Lord's Prayer. Okay, here's another major teaching of Christ. Boy, you can get a sermon out of that. All right. No, that's not what you're supposed to preach on either. Okay. Let's go back and look. In Luke 10, after the story of the Good Samaritan, and before the Lord's Prayer, between these two major teachings of Christ, there's this one little segment. It starts in verse 38. It says, now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. And I kept getting pulled back to this section of Scripture. And I really wasn't sure why. I've read this, I've read it 100 times. Okay, you know, Martha's kind of hectic. Jesus calms her down a little bit. What am I supposed to do with that? So I heard, well, why don't you pray about it? Why don't you think about it? And the more I spent, the more time I spent looking at this, the more it kind of made sense to me. You see, when you study the Gospel of Luke, you learn Luke was a doctor. He was an educated man. He traveled a lot with Paul. He met a lot of the apostles. He was there as the church was being built. And he took it on himself to write out this gospel so people would know the story of Jesus. And so he covers a lot of things with the theme of Jesus being the divine redeemer. Jesus was prophesied. He had a purpose. He was going to come and save us all. That's what most of Luke focuses on. And so it makes sense when he goes through the major teachings, when he goes through the story of the Good Samaritan. Okay, there's a lot of theological meat there that you can get into. It goes through the Lord's Prayer. Well, that's the prayer God gave us as an example. There's a lot of meat to that. And then I wonder, well, why does he take the time to spell out this one little anecdote in between these two? Well, Luke realized that Jesus was not just here to hit the high points in our lives. He's not just here to handle the important things. Jesus is Lord of our lives in the everyday portions of our lives that we live in. We have some special events, some big things that we go through in life. But the majority of our time here is spent dealing with these everyday things. Jesus is not just Lord of the big things in our lives. He's not just the Lord of your life when you get married. He's not just the Lord of your life when you suffer a loss. He's the Lord of your life when you're washing dishes. When you've got 100 different things competing for your attention, who's the Lord of your life? I just told you somebody answered. Jesus. He's still there. And a lot of times, we kind of take the attitude that whatever we're going through in a day is not important enough to really focus on Christ. We say, yeah, I'm a Christian, I follow God, but I'm going to do this. I'm going to take care of this. This is a little thing, I can handle it. Who's the Lord of your life with the little things? Jesus. So I go back and I look at this again. And I start listening to what he's telling me in this story. You know, you focus on Martha. Jesus knew Martha and Mary and Lazarus. He was friends with them. He spent a lot of time with them. And at this point in Jesus' ministry, he's a celebrity, for lack of a better word. He's become famous. He's done a lot of healing. He's done a lot of preaching. So everywhere he goes, there's a crowd. There are crowds that follow him around, asking for healing, asking for favors, and just to hear whatever he has to say. So Jesus comes into town, and here in verse 38, it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Jesus hits town and Martha's there saying, come, stay with me. You got 1,000 people calling for your attention. Come to my house. We'll take care of you. She gives him a place to come in and rest, to receive visitors. This is a good thing, right? Receiving Jesus, generally considered a good thing. Bringing Jesus into your home. Okay, so Martha's on the right track. Then while he's there and while all the people are there, because it's her house, she takes on the job of serving people. Serving people, good or bad? Good. Generally considered a good thing. So Martha's on the right track here. She's received Jesus into her home. She's taken on a job of serving people. All of this sounds great. These are good works. But Martha, if you weren't aware of it, is human. I don't know if you know any humans. I'm acquainted with a couple. Happen to be one. And every once in a while, as humans, we tend to do stupid things. We take something good, and then we take on more than we should. And we can get ourselves overwhelmed. These are huge crowds following Jesus. Huge crowd assembles there to hear what he has to say. Martha takes it on herself to be hostess to them all. I don't know if you can picture it, but I can. She's in and out of the kitchen. She's trying to make sure that everybody has something to drink or everybody has somewhere to sit. Everybody has a little snack. She may be Baptist, you don't know. She's trying to take care of everybody, meet everybody's needs. And that's fine until she starts to get a little stressed. She gets in over her head. There are too many people. There are too many needs for her to meet. When you have too much to do, what should you do? What's the first thing you're supposed to do? Nobody here knows. Okay. I'll tell you. It's fine. It won't be a quiz. What? Tell us. You ask. Ask for help. Is that what Martha does? It seems like it. You know, if you just read over it quickly, okay, here's Martha. She's cumbered about much serving, comes to him and says, Lord, can you help me? Is that what she does? Martha comes out and she says, hey, Mary, would you mind grabbing this plate over here? Does she ask for help? Look at what she says. Lord, dost thou not care? All right, stop there. This is a clue. Martha hasn't asked for help. She's trying to do too much. And while she's trying to do too much, and she's looking around, she sees her sister Mary sitting, listening to Jesus. And what goes through her mind? I have this to do. I have that to do. I have this to clean up. I have that to fix. I got nobody helping me. I've got all of this work to do, and no one's helping. Look at Mary over there. I hope she's comfortable sitting there. I have two sisters. I know how they talk to each other. And she looks at her sister and she ought to be in here helping me. And she's stewing on it. She's getting angrier and angrier and more frustrated. And the work is building up. Until finally, she kind of reaches her boiling point. And she comes in here and she looks at Jesus, who she's received into her house as a guest. Ignores her sister. Doesn't speak to her. Goes to Jesus and says, don't you care that this is going on right in front of you? Don't you see how overwhelmed I am? Don't you see how much work I have to do? Tell her to get up and help me. Has she asked for anything? She's done two things here. She's accused Jesus of not caring. And she's commanded Jesus to do something. Since you don't care what's going on, let me tell you how to fix it. Anyone want to admit to having done that? Yeah, I didn't think so. I have. More than once, I have looked at something that I was dealing with, that I was stressed out over, and then I remember the verse that people quote to you when you're going through this. God won't give you more to deal with than you can handle. And you turn around and say, oh, really? Let me explain to you what I'm dealing with right now. And you start going through the list. Well, I've got this, and I've got this, and I've got this, and I've got this, and it always ends up the same. And no one's helping me. No one cares. This is what needs to happen. And if you're honest with yourselves, you'll hear yourselves every once in a while in prayer turn to Jesus and say, let me tell you what you need to do. When you hear yourself doing that, let that be a clue to you. Stop right there and go, no, wait a minute. Who am I talking to? Jesus is my friend, yes. Jesus knows my flaws, yes. Jesus is still the Son of God. I shouldn't be talking to Jesus this way. If I'm talking to Jesus this way, then there's something wrong. Somewhere along the line, I have lost focus of something I was supposed to stay focused on. Let me just back up and figure out what's going on here. Martha is overwhelmed. Not with what Jesus gave her to do. What she took on herself. God didn't give her more than she could handle. God gave her what she could handle, and then she grabbed the rest herself. She thought, well, I can take care of this. Turns out she couldn't. And when she realized she couldn't, she doesn't say, you know what, maybe I don't need to do this. Or, if this has to be done, let me ask someone if they'll help me and see if someone else will carry this burden with me. She doesn't do that. She sits and she goes over in her head about how unfair it is. I've been there. I've spent a lot of time in my life going over how unfair things are. You know how many things got fixed that way? Take a guess. None. You know how many things got worse that way? Lots. You don't have to be so loud back there, honey. Martha started out with good intentions, and she started out on the right path. But she took too much on herself. And then when she realized that, she started throwing the blame elsewhere. Well, it's Mary's fault for not helping me, and it's God's fault for allowing it. This taking too much on yourself is dangerous. Because what it does is it causes you to lose focus. You know, you go back to the story of Peter. When Peter saw Jesus walking across the sea, walking on the water, all the disciples in the boat were afraid. And Jesus said, don't worry, it's me. And Peter said, Lord, if it's you, let me come out to you. Whose idea was this? Peter's. Jesus says, okay, come on. Peter gets out of the boat. He's walking on the water. And as long as he stays focused on Jesus, he's okay. What distracts him? Seagulls? What was it? The storm. The Bible says he started looking at the waves. He's got waves all around him. The world is competing for his attention. And so he takes his eyes off of Jesus and he looks at the waves. Jesus says, I can bring you through this. You know what the waves say? For those of us that can't swim very well, I'll tell you what the waves say. You're going down. That's what the waves have to tell you. Peter looks at the waves and he starts sinking. Peter at least realized he was sinking. And he calls out for help. Jesus, save me. And Jesus catches him, puts him back in the boat. Martha's in the same situation. Martha had an idea. It sounded like a good idea. She's following it through. She's taking her eyes off of Jesus. And she's looking at all the waves in her life around her, all these people in her house, all these things that have to be done, all the little corners and crevices that weren't cleaned out because Jeanette didn't come help her to clean up her house first. And she's put her eyes on those things. And those things all tell her the same thing. You can't do this and you're going down. And that's what she hears and that's what she believes. And she doesn't realize that she's sinking under it all until she opens her mouth. And once she opens her mouth, then it becomes obvious to everyone that she's sinking. Because the first things out of her mouth are, Jesus, you don't care. And you need to do this. So what are we supposed to get out of this? Do we keep this story in the Bible for 2,000 years so we could all get together and go, look at that Martha. I tell you what, whew, glad I'm not her. No, we keep that story in the Bible so 2,000 years later we can look at it and go, you know what? I've been Martha. I might be Martha tomorrow. If I look real hard, I may be being Martha right now. The important thing is to recognize when you're sinking. When you've taken your eyes off of Jesus. If you don't catch it on your own, pay attention to what you say. Pay attention to the prayers you're praying or the fact that you're not praying because you've got too much on your mind, too many things going on. Jesus comes to her with a response. Back in the Old Testament, there are examples of times that people took too much on themselves. They took on jobs that weren't theirs. I think back to 1 Samuel 13. Saul. Saul was a great example of this. Back in 1 Samuel, at this point, Saul is he's out in a position where he's going to go into battle. And he knows there needs to be an offering to God. They need to ask for God to help them in the battle. Samuel's not around. Samuel's the one who's supposed to give this offering. So Saul waits, and he waits, and he waits, and he looks, and the enemy has taken up their positions. And Saul's army is getting nervous, and they're getting scared. And Saul's looking at the situation saying, what can I do to fix this? How can I put my hands on this situation and take control of it? So he says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go offer this sacrifice. This is what we're waiting on. People are getting nervous. It hasn't happened yet. I'm going to take this on myself. So he offers the sacrifice. As soon as he's done, Samuel comes up. What are you doing? Oh, well, you weren't here, so I took care of it. Samuel says, no, it's not your place to take care of it. You have a job to do. You need to focus on that. You can't do other people's jobs. and there is a penalty you're going to pay for this. You won't be the king of Israel forever. Your family won't be the king of Israel forever. It's at that point that Samuel is told Saul's line is not going to rule Israel now, because they're not content with ruling Israel. They're not content with doing their job. In the Old Testament, you can find lots of examples of this. People step out of line. They do things that they're not supposed to do. They start taking on more responsibilities than they're supposed to. And there's a price to be paid. Here in the New Testament, Martha has taken on more responsibility than she's supposed to. She's come out, she's accused Jesus of not caring. She started telling him what to do. And Jesus stands up, he walks over to her. And at this point, he'd be perfectly justified in bringing in punishment. Look, you don't talk to me that way. Do you know who I am? But he doesn't do that. He shows her she's wrong, but he shows mercy. He comes to her, he says in verse 41, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." You've got a lot on you. I see that. You've got a lot that you're dealing with. I understand that. But one thing is needful. There's one main thing that you're supposed to keep focused on. Mary has that. Martha doesn't at this point. You're doing all of this work, and that's great. You're trying to do good things. That's fantastic. But if you lose sight of this one thing, then none of it's worth it. All of this work you're doing should be focused on the Word of God. Mary is listening to the Word of God. And that's supposed to be the point. You know, we have a lot of ministries in this church. There are a lot of jobs. Some involve visitation. Some involve straightening up. Some involve decorating. But there's two things that they all have in common. Number one, they're all a lot of work. There is work to be done. If you want to work, we can find a way to put you to work. There are things that have to be taken care of. If we can't find one at the moment, we'll make something up, keep you busy, and then something else will come up soon enough. There's a lot of work to be done in a church. The second thing they all have in common is that the point of all of the work is to spread the gospel. It may be by directly going out and speaking to people, or it may be just making sure we have a nice environment here for people to come in and hear the Word of God. But the point of everything that happens in a church is supposed to be spreading the Word of God. And it's easy for us to get wrapped up in what we're doing until we can't see anything else, and the job becomes an end unto itself. If that happens, whether it's in a church, whether it's in your home, whether it's at your job, then you know you've lost sight of something that you're supposed to stay focused on. We call ourselves Christians. We have a great commission. Is our great commission to go out and work really hard and accomplish a lot? What is it? Who knows? Preach the gospel. Go out, tell every creature. Now, fortunately, that doesn't mean that we all have to stand in a pulpit and preach sermons. because it's not very comfortable all the time. Unfortunately, what that means is that our lives are sermons to people. Everything we do can be a way of preaching to someone, whether it's a big, important thing or whether it's a small, simple thing. Jesus is talking to Martha here about work around her house. She's worried about keeping her house clean, seeing that guests are have their needs met. And Jesus is telling her, even in that, you have to stay focused. Whether that means that you ask other people to help, or whether that means that maybe you let some little things go. You need to make sure that the focus of your life is Jesus. That everything you do, you're focused on Jesus. Big things, little things, it doesn't matter. Because when Jesus comes in as the Lord of your life, He wants it all. Not just the big things, not just the things you dress up for once a week, come to church. He wants to be Lord of your life on a Tuesday afternoon. He wants to be Lord of your life when you're pushing a vacuum cleaner. Every time that you can think about what you're doing, you can say a prayer of thanks to God. Thank you for giving me the strength to do this, to wash these dishes, to have food, to dirty the dishes so they need washing. When you go to work, thank you, Lord, that I have a car that will get me out here in this irritating traffic. Thank you that I have a job to get out here in this irritating traffic for. If you don't have a job, and I've been there, I've been laid off 3 times in my life. They're not fun. They all lasted a lot longer than I wanted them to. If you're searching for a job, thank God for the time to focus and recognize that your ability to work comes from God. Thank God for the provision just for today to either look for a job, or if all you can do is just give thanks for God being there for you, do that. We don't always know where things are leading. We don't know what we're going to have to deal with tomorrow. You have enough in front of you to deal with. Thank God for what's in front of you. Thank God for His promise that He's going to get you through it. I've gone a lot longer than I thought I would. All right. One last thing to remember. Who's heard of the war on Christmas? Anybody? Everybody here having happy holidays? Around this time of year, there's always talk of the war on Christmas. There is an entire world out there that wants to take the focus off of Christ. This is true. As Christians, we want to keep the focus on Christ. This is true. Look at how you do it. Be aware that when you wish someone a Merry Christmas, you're doing it for the right reason. Do it to glorify God, not to satisfy your own pride. Make people respect what you respect. Keep Jesus the focus of your life. As Barbara comes up for the closing hymn, I ask you to remember one thing. In all the plans that you have to make, and all the arrangements and all the stress that comes out with the Christmas year, take some time every day to remember what Christmas is about. We're celebrating the fact that the God who made us, the God who created this world, loved us enough to come down and be with us so that we could have fellowship with Him again. celebrate Christmas. Don't let it turn into just a stressful job. Celebrate it. God loves you, and that's worth celebrating. You get your hymnals and turn to 447. Trust and obey. That's what Christmas is about. Sue, if you want to come forward, you can lead everyone in this.